Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Trust no man. Beware false prophets. Trust not in princes. All men are liars. Not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven. All this talk of false prophets in all three readings should open your eyes to the seriousness of your predicament as a sheep. Rare are the Sundays in the church year when everything, each of the propers, coheres so sublimely. The introit, confessing that we are here in the temple, around the Lord's font and altar and pulpit, to do what makes us distinctly human, what separates us from all other creatures, to think on His steadfast love, to receive His word. The collect, that we who cannot do anything good without the Holy Spirit may be enabled to live according to His will, always thinking and doing what is right. And all three readings which exhort you to beware of false prophets, those who prophesy their own words, discouraging you from repentance, filling you with false hope, scattering sheep like fierce, ravenous wolves. Not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," who purports to know the Lord Jesus, is in fact known by Him. So, happy False Prophets Sunday. How can you discern false prophets from true? How about the prophet Jeremiah? Jeremiah's day was rife with men purporting to speak for the Lord. How could you discern false from true? Know which prophet belonged to the Lord and which prophet spoke his own word. Most of the so-called prophets were declaring, "It shall be well with you," and "No disaster shall come upon you." And then the whippersnapper Jeremiah tells you not to listen to any of them, that all their hopes are vain, and that their words are false and contrary to the word of the Lord? Why would you listen to him? He's the minority, a lone voice calling all the other voices worthless noise and dangerous counsel. Jeremiah would accuse you of despising the word of the Lord and stubbornly following your own heart. "All others are false, but my word alone is the word of the Lord? Give me a break." Besides, the other prophets have a much easier word. Or Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. He's surrounded by rabbis, Pharisees, scribes, teachers of the law, who throughout Matthew's gospel clearly, markedly, distinctly disagree with him. And his warning, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but who inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father in heaven." His warning is quite a bit like Jeremiah's. "Many will claim to have done mighty works in my name, driven out demons, healed the sick, planted great congregations, sold millions of books, inspired many, helped the poor, fought for justice, performed innumerable works of charity, instructed old and young, gave hope to hundreds, baptized thousands, and then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" What did that sound like to the crowds? All those teachers whom you trust, they're filling you with vain hopes and visions of their own minds. They appear to be sheep, but they are ravenous, dangerous wolves. Why would you listen to him? He's the minority, a college faculty of one, calling all the other teachers frauds and fakes. It would be much easier to accept the word of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law as true and to discredit Jesus as the impostor. His, after all, is the more difficult word to hear and receive. Well, think elsewhere in this Sermon on the Mount. Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Exceeds by how far, Jesus? You, therefore, must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Nobody wants to hear that. All others are false, but my word is the word of the Lord. Give me a break. Besides, the other prophets have a much easier, gentler word. And St. Paul's exhortation to the pastors from the churches in Ephesus, whom he gathers to himself for one last winkle, one last circuit pastor's gathering before his departure: I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. You do the same. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you bishops to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. The whole counsel of God. Anything else makes your preacher a false prophet. That's a pretty narrow road. There are many who do fantastic works, but whose teaching does not reflect the whole counsel of God. There are easy examples like Joel Osteen and the prosperity preachers who preach precisely what your sinful flesh wants to hear, that God intends for you to have comfort and pleasure in this life, that he intends for you to have your best life here and now. The talk of sin and repentance is unnecessary. That's an easy one to pick on, though. That's not even close to the content of Christianity. It's self-helpianity with a dose of a generic God thrown in for good measure. But what about those inside the pale of Christianity who nevertheless teach falsely, whose teaching is not according to the whole counsel of God? There are many who confess to be Christian teachers, but who no longer believe the sixth commandment has any application on how Christians are to conduct themselves in matters of marriage and family. But again, that's too easy. There's the Bishop of Rome, who teaches clearly contrary to the whole counsel of God when he bases salvation on a system of works that, even while enabled by God's sacramental grace, nevertheless put the responsibility for saving yourself onto yourself. Still too easy? There's the famous evangelist who hosted the Hour of Decision, who publishes Decision magazine, who has certainly at times proclaimed the word of God, but who, by making your decision to be a Christian the sine qua non of salvation, has rejected the whole counsel of God, which clearly makes salvation exclusively the work of God. That's not a judgment whether Joel Osteen, Pope Francis, or Billy Graham are Christians. I imagine at least the latter two are. You can be a false prophet and a true Christian at the same time. Your doctrine does not save you. Faith in Jesus, however corrupted, saves you. But those false prophets are easy to discern and avoid. There are far more dangerous false prophets who reside much closer to your home. This is the particularly insidious kind of false prophet, the one who tells you what you already want to hear. The false prophet you disagree with is not a temptation to you. The prophet who confirms your pre-existing false belief is far more dangerous, far more difficult to discern. The false prophet, following the father of all lies, the devil, tells you what you want to hear, scratches just where your ears itch. He helps you justify your sins. This isn't as far away as saying that hashtag love wins or love is love when you already know that homosexuality is a sin, or telling sinners dead in their transgressions to make themselves alive with a decision for Jesus. Rather, these false prophets sit beside you in your pew in your pious Lutheran congregations. Or closer still than next to you, this false prophet sits on your shoulder, preaches from the perch of the pulpit of your shoulder. He tells you that the things that you enjoy doing are good and wise and righteous. Well, that's not greed. That's just sensible German frugality and saving for the future. Well, that's not really adultery and divorce. It's just finding happiness and your true love, your life's soulmate. That's not really gossip. Those are just prayer requests. And that isn't a lying tongue. It's just shrewdness. Well, that's not really refusing to tithe. It's just good budgeting and using the means that God has given you to pay first things first. That's not self-righteous, selfish anger. It's just common sense and self-preservation. That's what the false prophets do. They speak visions of their own minds, visions of your own mind, not from the mouth of the Lord. They say continually to your sinful flesh, which despises the word of the Lord, "It shall be well with you, and no disaster will come upon you." Repent. If the preacher's easy on the ears, he's probably false. This is why you can trust no man. It's always easier to preach what you want than what you need. The only preacher who will never preach falsely, whom you can trust completely, is the preacher from the sermon in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. It is to him alone you must hearken. False prophets are inevitable. Sheep cannot stand on their own reason, strength, or merit. Trust only in Jesus. He alone cares perfectly for his flock. The wolves sunk their teeth into this shepherd, and in his death they were destroyed. The shepherd gave his life on the cross to save his sheep, to make them good and holy, to set them free from their sins. His death satisfied all of hell's accusations against you, the sheep. This dying shepherd has sent under shepherds to care for his flock. We call them pastors. They stand in the stead of the shepherd and hearken us back to the fold, back to the shepherd. The wolves know they cannot stand against the shepherd, but they can do just fine against the under shepherds. This is the devil's tactic: to overthrow the under shepherds and use them against the shepherd's sheep. Put wolves in shepherd's clothing, dress them up in vestments, ambush the sheep. As St. Paul warned, that will arise even from among you, those who will draw disciples away from the Lord. The under shepherds, the pastors, cannot be trusted. I cannot be trusted. No human being, no pastor, no priest, no pope, no seminary professor, no president of the synod or Lutheran hour speaker, no father, no grandfather can be trusted. People used to complain about the Missouri Synod that her problem was that we no longer trust one another. Well, that's a good thing. We shouldn't trust one another. Holy Scripture never tells you to put your trust in a man. You are to fear, love, and trust in God above all things. The only thing that is fully trustworthy, that the devil cannot dress himself up as and deceive you with, is God and His holy word. Human beings are not trustworthy. Even those who are not wolves, who mean well and then fail. God's word alone will not fail you. This is the sole source and norm of our doctrine and life. The only way to evaluate and to test your under-shepherds. The word of God, which endures forever, never lies, always tells you what you need to know. Therein is the voice of your shepherd. Our ancestors committed large sections of scripture and hymnody to memory so that they were ready to recall it and to recite it to themselves or to one another in the face of persecution or temptation. How often do we even read the Word of God and sacred hymns, let alone make a discipline of learning it by heart? This is the only way you can trust any under-shepherd, when his preaching and teaching accord with the whole counsel of God. So where will you find what is true? In the Word. In the God who reveals himself to you in that Word. In the God who reveals himself to you in the incarnation, his suffering, his death, his resurrection, and his promise to return. Jesus alone is worthy of your trust. Find under shepherds who will deliver him, not themselves, to you. Flee cults of personality. Find congregations and synods and liturgies and worship styles that will endure after pastors depart or die. Find the means, the instruments that deliver Jesus to you and his pure word. Find his sacraments. These are pure truth. These are his gifts. The gifts the incarnate Word, the enfleshed God, delivers to you. And trust the Word he gives you in them. He claimed you in the waters of holy baptism to belong to him. He has written his name upon you. His Word endures forever. Trust that. In his gift of holy absolution, he speaks you forgiven. Every wolf is kept at bay with the word of Jesus, his forgiving word. His word endures forever. Trust that. And then, according to his last will and testament, his institution on the night before he died on the cross, Jesus beckons you to his altar to feed you with his real body and blood, as he promised to forgive your sins. Trust this man alone, the God-man, who loves you, who forgives you, who sends his Holy Spirit to preserve you in the true faith and to keep false prophets at bay. Trust his word. It endures forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.